Chapter 1. The End. What is to give light must endure burning. Viktor Frankl. I always thought dying would hurt. It didn't. It was coming back into the body that was the real killer. Even more surprising was the discovery of my own death. It was a hot, sunny August afternoon in Denver, Colorado. The air was quite still, and there wasn't a cloud in the sky. I could see for miles ahead of me. One of the things I love about Colorado is the four seasons. You just fall in love with each one, and when you get a little tired of it, a new one comes along. I am feeling so relaxed and free, watching all the activity in the city. About four blocks ahead is the mailman parking his truck before he hand-delivers our mail. You can set his watch by him. He's always precise. Barkley, the German Shepherd puppy, is laying quietly at the side of the bed, chin between his outstretched paws, waiting for his master to wake up so he can go out for a walk. There's an amazing loyalty in the patience of dogs. Perhaps that's why they help us live 10 years longer. Nothing is happening in this room, so I look at the other side of the townhouse. I see the neighbor John, a beautiful specimen of a human being, changing clothes. He reaches into his dresser drawer, pulls out a pair of blue shorts, and gets dressed for his daily 5-mile run. My attention keeps going back to the bed and the person in it. There's a peculiar curiosity about it, although it holds no real interest. Yet there's something that keeps drawing me to it. Looking down, it's a rather pitiful scene. A bony woman, barely strong enough to stand, is still in bed at this time of day. Her gaunt face is ashen, hair wildly strewn across the pillow. To my right, I can see Cherry Creek Shopping Mall a few blocks down the road. Ahead, I see the traffic getting congested on Colorado Boulevard. But again, my attention goes back to the woman lying on the bed below me. Why am I so drawn to that? She isn't moving. I don't know if she's even breathing. I watched her in silence for a long time. Slowly, I moved in to take a closer look at her face. I gasped in horror. I know her. That woman is me. This was shocking to me. I had never truly looked at myself before. I'd seen my reflection in the mirror, but never truly seen my face like others have. It was me, and in another sense, it really wasn't. Questions rapidly streamed through my mind. What is she doing there? Why is she not waking up? If I'm up here, how can I be looking at my own body? I started to remember how sick that woman, me, had been. Why do I feel so amazing now? Before, I felt so heavy, like an elephant had been sitting on me all the time. I don't feel like I'm shackled to a body stuck in a bed and resigned to a stagnant life. I am free. I am excited. I am happy. I can move. Now I'm as light as a feather. In fact, I can float. I'm slowly rising higher and higher. I am now so far above my townhome, I can see the high-rise buildings downtown, Washington Park, the Broncos Stadium, and the Tech Center north of the city. This is amazing. Like a helium balloon that accidentally slipped out of a child's hand at the fair, I continue to gently rise past the trees and the birds in flight. I am separate from my body. How did that happen? Where am I floating to? Only moments ago, I was on my back, blankly staring up at the rafters horizontally stretched across my bedroom ceiling.